Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Still chirping long after the whistle. This is Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
There's a pause in the action at the World Cup of Hockey 2016 edition as we get ready for the semifinals this weekend, leading up to a best-of-three championship series next week. Welcome into Hockey Central. A lot to get to today as we look back on a round-robin tournament that featured some surprises and some twists and turns, at least from the Americans, and the emergence of that under-23 North American team. Darren Millard in the studio, along with John Shannon and Todd Halushko, who's apparently played the game before. I was reading on Twitter last night that every time we refer to him as a former player, that somebody's taken a shot.
We'll stay away from that, I guess. I never played.
No.
I'm just saying, according to that Twitter.
1994 Olympic silver medalist Todd Halushko, do another shot. We'll have you guys hammered by the time we take the first break.
That's a good quote.
Canada against Russia in one semifinal. Sweden against Team Europe in the other semifinal. How surprised are you that this is how it played out, John?
I think everybody has to be a little surprised about the fact that Europe is one of the four finalists. I don't think that we should be surprised that Sweden, Canada, and the Russians are three of the four. I think we would probably all admit that we're a little disappointed the way the Russians have played to get to this point. But at the same time, if we sat here 2 weeks ago and said we're going to have Canada-Russia on a Saturday night as one of the semifinals, everybody would have said, wow, that's great. So I think the European team...
Amazing how that became the consolation prize to Canada and North America.
Yeah, and I think by the time they dropped the puck on Saturday night, I think we'll be back to, Canada, Russia, and the understanding. I mean, let's face it, the kids in many ways saved the round robin tournament. You know, how they played, the victories, how they played the Russians, and then that amazing afternoon game against Sweden. They made certain parts of the round robin so entertaining, so enjoyable, and they played a style of hockey that everybody loved to watch. But Canada-Russia on a Saturday night, I don't know. I really don't know how you can beat it, Darren.
Well, yeah, it's, you know what? Everyone saw Team North America and how well they played. And quite honestly, the three games that they played in the round robin were the most exciting. Hands down, every time they played, they took it to another level. So the fans would have loved to have seen Canada and North America continue. But honestly, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword because I don't think you would get the hatred between North America and Canada if they played. So I think when Team Russia plays Canada on Saturday, that bitter rivalry that they've had for decades and decades, yeah, I think will come back into play, which will make the game that much more exciting.
I mean, we're not questioning the talent that the Russians are able to put on the ice, even without Pavel Datsyuk, who's still questionable for the game. When you have goalie Bob, what he's done in this, even in this tournament.
But there's more questions than accolades with Team Russia through the course of the three games.
And you know what, Darren, though? I mean, that's a carbon copy of what we've seen or what we've been asking about the Russians for the last six or seven tournaments. Mm-hmm. You know, what's wrong with the Russians? Why can't they play as a team? You know, the difference between...
Is it fair with this group, though? Because Sergei Bobrovsky has been excellent, arguably the best goaltender in the tournament. The defense... A major question mark coming into the tournament has been better or above average.
They've done yeoman's work with not very much talent.
Right. So if you take the three different sections of a team, forwards, defense, and goaltender, two of the three have performed above expectations.
And you know what? This is a situation. This is why it's such a dangerous animal right now that Canada is going to face, because we've seen the situation with European teams in past tournaments. They don't play so great, but then when the money's on the line right now, which is a semifinal game, they seem to bring the best out of them. So this is a dangerous game for Team Canada. Even though Team Canada's cruised through it, you're going to get another animal from Russia
and
for this
Russia
game.
Russia has given Team Canada its biggest challenge.
Yep.
Going back to the pre-tournament game, which Team Canada won in overtime.
Yeah,
in Pittsburgh.
Do you think you can put any stock in the pre-tournament games? Honestly.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I mean, based on that, then we should have seen a little more out of the Americans at this tournament.
And less out of the Europeans.
Yeah. Well, except there's a learning curve. I do believe that there was a learning curve. What we did see from the Russians at times, we did see better games out of Evgeny Malkin, who really, in the first two games, was invisible and played better in the last game. Ovechkin, I mean, I don't think we ever doubt his effort, his will. But it's cohesion. Can the forwards play together? They were actually probably more effective without Datsyuk in the lineup because there was more skating and more north-south skating and more use of speed. And to me, that will be a key part of what if the Russians are able to, you know, get beyond just rolling four lines, get beyond just, okay, you're up next. If that's the case and the coach shortens his bench, then there's something to be said.
It's Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard along with Todd Hlushko and John Shannon. John Shannon advocating the benching of Pavel Datsyuk for the semifinal game against Team Canada.
I'll be big in Moscow this afternoon on Twitter. all my Russian followers will be all over me.
You know what is going to be interesting in that game is if Russia changes their approach a little bit, because the whole tournament they've been sitting back playing a really, really tight defensive system. You've got superstars like Kuznetsov, Datsyuk, Ovechkin that have kind of got the reins pulled back. They can't play the offensive way. I think they're going to have to unleash them a little bit if they want to compete with this high-octane Canadian offense.
And for the record, I am not advocating Pavel Datsyuk.
You said they were better without him.
What I'm saying is don't play him with Tarasenko and Ovechkin. Play him somewhere
else.
Don't
slow down the line.
Don't slow that line down. Yeah. I mean, Kuznetsov did make a difference. The fact that there is some chemistry between Kuznetsov and Ovechkin from their time in Washington actually might help this club. So that, okay?
Oh, the cat's already out there.
It's out there.
There it is.
It's running around in the pasture right now. It's out of the barn.
And not only is it Moscow, but apparently I'm big in St. Petersburg right now, too.
The complimentary borscht is no longer there for John Shannon when he goes to Russia.
Canada against Russia. Canada has cruised through this tournament. At times, I think that any challenges to them have come from maybe slight boredom, that they just get a little bit distracted.
Minute 29, Darren. The Americans. The only time the Americans had a lead in any game was a minute 29 against Canada. That's the only time the Canadians have been behind.
So, a little sliver of positiveness for Team USA.
Hey, come on now.
Is this Canadian team better than the one we saw in Sochi? It's maybe not fair to compare, but I want to go there. Because they're different.
Let's compare the 76 team, too.
Well,
then, okay?
See, I did that with Scotty Bowman, and he ripped me a new one.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Scotty didn't like the fact that I said that the 2014 defense was the best that Canada has ever iced.
Yeah. And when were you born? 1977?
He actually looked up my birth date and said, you were only 6 years old. I'm like, Scotty Bowman's doing some research on me.
If Wikipedia is correct.
But the team in 2014 played a different style on the bigger ice than this team is playing in 2016. I enjoy this team more.
Me too.
Quite frankly, just because it's more offensive. But which team would you take?
Well, you know what? You look at both of them right now. I mean, the thing that I love about it is the depth that this country has. When guys get hurt and all of a sudden you can slide in a guy like Ryan O'Reilly and doesn't miss a beat and you're losing Jamie Benn. I mean, are you kidding me? We could even be talking about how much better this team was if some of those guys didn't get hurt. Mm. So I'd have to say this team is the one for me right now.
There's a 37-year-old on it, if you're talking one of the best national teams ever in Canada to have a 37-year-old on it, you look at that and go, that's going to bring you down.
But it has.
Joe Thornton doesn't.
Not at all. Right. No. And he's done yeoman's work too. He's been providing the grit and the grinding on the fourth line, not complaining, just doing what he's asked of. And that's why he's such a great player.
But
when you
look at the lines, when you look at, you know, Marchand, Crosby, Bergeron, is that a better line than Babcock had to juggle with Sid?
Yes.
In Sochi? The answer is yes. Yeah. Couture, Taves, and Perry. Is that a better line than the line that Taves played on in Sochi? And so you go to Todd's point about depth, and then you really actually understand how many centers you need on a team to win at this level. Mm-hmm. You need nine centers, and then just play them wherever you need to play them, and then and use their versatility. I mean, I think there are parts of the team in Sochi that were better, but I really look at the efficiency of the defense here, and say this defense is so good, so strong. It looks like they're going to go back to the original six that played the first two games. Weber will be back in. Muzzin will be out. I think in many ways this is a more complete team.
The team in Sochi was never vulnerable. Latvian game, they had trouble scoring. The difference is that team had trouble scoring.
Yeah.
This team doesn't. That team had trouble finishing. Yeah. This team doesn't. The 1-0 game against Team USA in 2014 was never felt in doubt.
Right.
We haven't.
But that team played with such control and almost emotionless. Mm-hmm. Just do what they needed to do. Nothing fancy. You've got, your job is your 27-second shift and move the puck out of the zone, and then we'll wait for a break. In terms of what we've talked about European hockey, it was almost a hybrid between what we want our Canadian players to play and a European style of hockey just to win. And obviously it worked. But early on, there was consternation. Sure. That we didn't score enough goals and that Canada wasn't scoring enough goals. It was
offensive production of that team was slightly disappointing.
Yeah. Well, except that if you look at long term, but part of that was what the Canada didn't blow out some of the lesser teams. Yeah. Well, you know what? When you're
Gudlestis was fantastic.
Oh yeah. That game was one of the lasting memories of the hockey tournament.
The Canadian defense in that tournament was tighter than Fort Knox, right? And the other teams are doing the same thing, and that's why the scoring I don't think was readily high like it was there. But I think that they still have the same defensive tight team here at this tournament, but the offense I think can take it to a whole new level. And I think that they've unleashed that a little bit more. They're playing a little bit more risk, a little bit more entertaining game than they did in Sochi.
Although I must say, and it's hard to think that I'm not sure how overall, entertaining the Canada games have been because they've been so surgical.
Easily, yeah.
They've been so surgical. And which is, to me, is the residue of Sochi. Is most of these guys who were there, once they got back on a bench with Mike Babcock and his staff, realized, okay, this is how we play international hockey. And now, with the smaller ice surface, with a couple of the younger guys making contributions, you're right about Ryan O'Reilly. Matt Duchesne finally getting an opportunity rather than 4 or 5 minutes over a tournament to prove what he can do, and just the overall team speed. I mean, that's something that in many ways, as much as we talked about the North American team, we've taken for granted with this Canada team. They're a phenomenally fast team.
How much emotion do you think we will witness in the semifinal between Canada and Russia?
Well, that was my whole point about them playing.
Well, you sure
Russia,
didn't make it very well.
Russia rather than Team North America. I think it's going to go through. I think the first couple of minutes they're going to play each other out, feel themselves out. But I think the bad blood will come back very quickly. I think it takes one cheap hit or one crowd
or
the Russian scoring first, exactly. And then that's going to say, okay, game on right now. I think this will be the most emotionally charged game of the tournament for obvious reasons. It's an elimination game, but I think just the fact that it's Canada Russia again is worth the price of admission. You got to get there because it's going to be an absolute crazy game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Is tomorrow night Canada's biggest challenge of the tournament, even if they win?
I think so.
Because it turns into a series in the final, and you avoid that one-off chance?
Probably, just because of the one-and-done nature of it, yeah. The measure of this team will be how quickly they do get involved in the game. The response against the United States with the two goals 14 seconds apart was something I think that every Canadian fan expected to happen. We weren't guaranteed it to happen because that's just not the way they've played it on the international stage. So I fully suspect, if the Russians come out, the Russians are, trying to, press the issue. Again,
which they haven't done yet, right?
Not really.
Yeah,
they did in the second period against the kids. They scored four goals, and it was their young kids.
Six minutes.
Yep.
I mean, so again, I think you're looking for more emotion, certainly from the Russians, and you have to suspect that they're going to be more physical, and you have to suspect that Alex Ovechkin is going to be the difference maker if Russia thinks they can win. And by the way, I do think the Russians can win. I'm this is not as just a simple empty net goal for Canada.
Are you just trying to like stir up controversy?
No, I'm trying to get back on the good side of all my friends in Moscow.
I agree. I mean,
if you missed it earlier, Pavel Datsyuk should be benched, according to John Shannon.
I did not say that. If you're driving down the Don Valley Parkway, or you're driving, on the Dan Ryan in Chicago, I did not say that.
Now you're just showing off.
That I know that the Dan Ryan in Chicago. No, but we're too Toronto-centric here, okay? We're too Toronto-centric. All right?
This is the first time since 2006 in Turin that Russia had reached the semifinals, the final four of a best-on-best. That's staggering.
Exactly. But that talks to the difference between the Russian pros, the Russian NHLers, and the Russian coaching staff. They have been for all that period of time you talked about. They've been on different wavelengths.
They haven't won a best on best since 1981.
Mm-hmm. Vancouver was an embarrassment for them. How they performed, there was just no cohesion between coaches and players.
That was the turning point for Canada.
That's right.
Was the game against
Russia. But the Russians were mediocre the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, and then in Sochi, obviously Sochi was even worse than that.
And I think a lot of this goes, we talked about this last night when we were doing the post game with Gord Stelic, was the Russians, it's no longer the unknown. You know, the 70s and 80s, you had no clue who half these guys were. They come over and they were unbelievable hockey players. Nowadays, everything is scouted. You know exactly who your opponent is. There's no mystery to the Russians anymore. And I think that played a big part in why they were so successful so early, because there was so much mystery and intrigue. You didn't know who they were, and they came out and they would dominate you. There's none of that anymore. It's too highly scouted. Everybody knows everybody.
But Todd, from the time when you played, I remember being in Calgary at the 1988 Olympics. Their skill level, was higher than any of the other teams. And we're talking about an American team that didn't do very well in the standings, but had 14 or 15 guys turn pro. A Canadian team, lots of those guys had an opportunity to play in the NHL. The skill level and the cohesion, whether you liked them or not, the cohesion between coach and players worked. Yeah. The skill level has not declined in Russia. Those guys are, I mean, when we see them on a regular basis, the Tarasenkos, the Ovechkins, the Malkins, when we see the Kuznetsov, when we see them play in the NHL, we revel in what they do. So what's different? It's the inability of I just don't think the Russian coaching has advanced as much as any other coaching in the world right now, and I think that's the big issue. And the Russian players are turning around saying, "Hold on, we've got to adapt." And I do think that that's really the big key.
Sidney Crosby was the hero in 2010. Sidney Crosby was the difference maker in the final against Sweden in 2014. In 2016, he's been arguably Canada's best player. Mm-hmm. Russia doesn't have that right now. In those tournaments, they haven't had the Ovechkin, the Malkin step up and be that difference maker. And to me, that's where it rests. It rests on one of those two players to be a difference maker, like Sidney Crosby in that conversation for best player in the world has done.
But let me ask you, Todd, isn't that a difference between having that type of player play in the middle of the ice versus a player that plays on the wing?
Absolutely. I mean, the center position is...
Why is Ovechkin able to do it in the regular season?
Well,
and be a difference maker.
And how do you base the results and success of what he's done in Washington?
I'm just talking regular season.
Yeah. Well, I know, but how do you... I mean... 82-game schedule is such a different animal.
The center position, obviously, you can make other players around you a little bit better, easier than if you're a winger. I mean, you're looking to have the puck distributed to you, and you're a shooter, and that's what Ovechkin does. Crosby, he's a shooter, but he's an unbelievable puck distributor as well, and he makes people around him better. I'm not saying Ovechkin doesn't, but it's easier to do that at the center position.
Goalie Bob, can he match Carey Price?
Absolutely. He can. Mm-hmm. He can. It's a totally different style. They're certainly not the same size, but his athletic ability, his glove hand right now is, you know, he's on the same level as Price. You know, the key thing for Bobrovsky is this is probably the longest period of time he's been able to stay healthy too, and that's, you know, that's the bigger issue is
4 games.
Yeah, I mean, hey, well, look at it. I mean, the whole world in Columbus has been based on whether goalie Bob is healthy or not. You know, he spent a ton of time in Austria at the Red Bull facility this year in the off season, trying to make sure that he was in great physical condition so that he can take the bumps and bruises of what happens in front of him. And then obviously his conditioning is just remarkable. His reaction time is absolutely fantastic. The efficiency of Price versus what I would describe as Bobrovsky's reaction time, to me, is a great matchup.
And in a one-game series, anything can happen, right? And sure. Bobrovsky's had the heavier workload in this tournament, probably a little bit more pressure on him. Games have been tighter compared to Carey Price. Mind you, you know, Carey Price is so efficient, so you don't even think that it's hard for him anyways. I get that. But again, one-game series, I mean, we've seen it before. A goalie can steal it. So, yeah, this is wide open.
You know, and what this is where you give the Canadian defense so much credit, Darren. Is you sit in the building, you've been there. If Carey, there's a real belief that if Carey Price sees it, he will stop it.
Yeah.
You know, Bobrovsky, with the defense that they've had, who have battled as much as they have and so much pressure on Andre Markov and Yemelin, he doesn't necessarily see everything, and he's been able to stop it. And I think that that's a big – and I think that that's one of the keys – for Canada, with the types of players they have, with Getzlaff probably returning to the lineup, Corey Perry, Jonathan Toews, being able to go to the front of the net and creating some distractions for Bobrovsky, that might be the big difference. Look at the goals that Canada scored the other night. Look, I mean, none of them were very pretty.
I think that's one of the things that Russia did really well, though. They cleaned that up against Team Finland last game. They did. The defensemen were helping out. They were collapsing. They were blocking shots.
A lot of block shots.
And it's going to be... I think they're going to make life a little bit more difficult, and Canada's going to have a tough time getting to the net and creating that traffic if that game against Finland is any indication of how they're going to play against Canada.
We're going to play what has to happen if Russia is going to beat Canada.
Is that a game?
That's going to be a game.
Okay.
The home version is just being boxed up right
actually,
now.
Actually, I bought the app. It's really good.
And the because we know what happens if Canada wins or what will happen for Canada win. We'll also chime in on the other semifinal between Sweden and Europe and close the book on Team USA and Team North America. An explanation from Team North America head coach Todd McClellan on his strategy in that last game against Russia. That when we continue on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Bring it back into Hockey Central at noon. It's an off day as far as games are concerned at the World Cup of Hockey 2016 in Toronto. But the Fan Village tonight features a concert by Lenny Kravitz. Tickets still available. Ticketmaster.ca, $25. Catch Lenny Kravitz in a very intimate setting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You were there yesterday.
It was fun. Yeah, it was cool. Did a little bit of a performance for a bunch of kids, 3,000
school
kids.
It looked like a huge crowd, Darren.
Commander Hadfield was there. Brad Boyes was there. Nice. Or ran into him. So it was a neat
Commander
chill.
Chris?
Commander Chris.
Yeah.
They could have asked for better weather down there. It's been unbelievable.
Oh, and of course, the big concert tonight, and it's
a little overcast today.
But that, you got to give, you know, let's face it, this was supposed to be the night that Green Day played. They canceled part of their concert tour, including this one. And, you got to give credit to the people at the National Hockey League and a guy named Steve Mayer, who's the executive producer over there. Within 24 hours, they were able to find a big name to replace Green Day, and Lenny Kravitz is coming. And I think the city's embraced the village, and I think that when we talk about World Cups to come, and I wouldn't be surprised of other international events, we see something of this ilk because I think it's worked very well for the NHL and the PA.
You ever see Lenny play? Did you ever see a Lenny show?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've missed a couple of concerts in my life. I'm not sure that Lenny and I are falling in the same wavelength, you know?
I had to get you into Zach Brown.
I love Zach Brown.
Now you do.
Sandman.
Enter Sandman. That's part of their encore.
I know. It's great.
But they do a great
Enter Sandman. Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz is awesome. When we look at the semifinals, let's talk about Sweden and Europe. Is Europe still playing with house money, or do they finally have some pressure on them to do something with what they've been able to accomplish?
For me, I think it is house money. I think that they've overachieved already. Maybe not in their eyes, but in everyone else's eyes. So I think the pressure is definitely off. And I've had a chance to talk to some of the guys on the team. I have some good friends on that team. And, I mean, they're extremely happy with what they did. But they would still like to shock everybody and knock these Swedes off. And I think they have the potential to do it. Anytime you have a guy like Anssi Kopitar on your team, who's playing more minutes than anybody, any of the defensemen, and Ralph Kruger has been playing his star players. He doesn't care. It's like, all right, boys, go. I need you out there. If you got to play 60 minutes, you're playing 60 minutes. They have an opportunity, but are they playing with house money? Yes, the pressure is all on the Swedes.
You know what? And their young guys, we've talked about Team North America, but their young guys, including a guy like Leon Draisaitl, and Tobias Reeder, these guys have...
Boy, is he fast.
The speed's incredible.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, these guys have really contributed. I agree with Todd. I do think they're playing with house money. In any other tournament, the performance that they've put up... would have got a lot more notice, except that we had Team North America. I mean, this was, let's face it, the first day of the tournament, they were the big story. Mm-hmm. You know, the victory against the United States, how they played. You know, Chara doing what he did. Jaro Halak playing as well as he's played. And they make no mistake, yes, they can beat the Swedes. If the Swedes decide to play, you know, a very, very low-key, you know, make the first mistake style of hockey, these guys will burn you. They have enough talent. Any team with Marian Hossa on it, with Marian Hossa on it has a chance to win in my mind.
A couple days between games for Team Sweden is a welcome sight based on what they went through against Team North America and the style of play that they're going to face against Team Europe. You can't get two more opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, no, you can't. But there is a dangerous element for Team Sweden with this Team Europe. And I think one of the things is, outside of the tournament, there's still a few RFAs on that Team Europe that are trying to prove to
the two German defensemen, Ehrhoff and Seidenberg particularly.
Yeah. So those guys are looking to impress GM still. But there's an element of Team Europe wants to, deep down, they want to win this. I mean, I don't care. They'll say that they're happy with where they are. They're content, but they're not. They want to get to the final.
With all due respect to the Swedes, I would love to see Team Europe in the championship just for the fact that these players would have an opportunity to play for a championship, a trophy, in a best-on-best that they
never had the chance. Yeah,
they've never
right.
had before, and they may never have again.
Yeah, but you know what? This is, we've noticed all week how well the Czech fans have traveled. The Slovakian fans have traveled very well, and they're very proud of what this team has done. With, you know, and the backbone of this club, there's a ton of Slovakians.
And they've had some international success.
Absolutely.
In spurts.
In spurts. Yeah. Right? Even back to 2010 in Vancouver, they were a bit of a factor. But the eight countries that are represented, I actually think this format for this team has a lot better chance of continuing than the 23 and under team. I think that they may have really hit lightning in a bottle with Team Europe to try to find a way to continue on the international stage.
And this is where the experience kicks in a little bit too, right? Where the North American guys weren't as experienced. You've got, what, eight Stanley Cup winners on this Team Europe. They know how to win. You've got big Zdeno Chara. If he gets that chip on his shoulder and makes it miserable for those Swedes, there's a lot of elements on Team Europe that tells you that they could pull this off and they could beat Sweden.
Team North America.
Now, before we better give the Swedes some credit, though. We better. I mean, is their defense better than Canada's? It's pretty darn close.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would say it is.
And the way Lundqvist has played, heck, the way Lundqvist played in the first and third periods, even against Team North America, was absolutely remarkable. So let's not sell the Swedes short. I I think the Swedes will win the game on Sunday just because of Lundqvist and their defense and how active their defense is.
It was kind of a given. I agree with you. They are unbelievable. But I think we're just trying to figure out how Europe can actually beat these guys because, yeah,
it's the
they're
same
the favorites for sure.
Canada and...
And Russia.
And Russia.
Yeah.
Canada should win that game. How can they lose? Sweden should win this game. How does Europe win?
Well, the one thing I think that Europe has a chance of winning is, and we come back to the coaching of Russia, the coaching of Team Europe. I mean, you got Paul Maurice Bradshaw and you've got Ralph Kruger back there. Mm-hmm. Those are some solid guys. Again, talk to a couple guys and they tell me how much they love playing for this coaching staff right now. And I mean, that's a huge part. If you like playing for your coach, you're going to go to the wall. You're going to go to war for your coaches. And I've been on that side of it. You have a coach that you're not too happy with. Guess what? The effort may not be as high as it would be for someone that you really like.
Do you think Sweden or Europeans' motivation is accelerated because they're playing a fellow European nation?
Honestly, no. I think that the strength of that club and the emotional drive of that club is in that room, is in amongst those guys who it doesn't matter who they play, that they want to try to make a difference. If they were playing the Americans, they would have been, even if they were playing Canada, I think the whole concept of, you know, this band of brothers, and they truly are, with eight countries, a band of brothers, I think it's something that that, you know, you exactly what the North American team had. They have something very special right now.
Team North America. And I would love to, I loved that 3-on-3 format at the All-Star weekend last year. But I'm now ahead of my head that I would like to see a 24 and under versus 24 and over at the All-Star weekend in the National Hockey League. I think they've caught something here because they were so competitive. They were so entertaining. I'd like to see, may not happen for a couple of years, but boy, it's right there.
It is fun to watch. And I mean, I guess you can look back to how exciting the World Juniors are, right? And it's just, these guys have just graduated from the World Juniors and they still have that bite in them to perform at that level of, I mean, someone made a point and said, the reason why this Team Europe can play this way is because of the youth that they have. When they wake up in the morning, they have no aches and pains. They're so young, and they can play that high-energy game. And I think that's got a lot to do with it. You get the older guys, it takes a little bit longer to get the body warmed up and go. And I think that's the reason why you're seeing this high-octane offense. It's just the youth factor, and their bodies still feel good.
Yeah, I think when you consider that Austin Matthews was the 13th forward, what, in the middle of April? There was
middle of April.
Peter Chiarelli went to the World Championship saying, "Well, you know, we're going to consider him. He's going to get a fair look." So, when you're the 13th forward, and what he was able to do, and how he was able to contribute at 18 years old, it's hard to imagine. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, a 5-year pro,
I know.
A 5-year pro at 23. Mm-hmm. There are some other guys on that team that are really veteran hockey players.
Nathan MacKinnon,
who, by the way,
unbelievable.
That was the Nathan MacKinnon we saw play in the Quebec Major Junior League with Jonathan Drouin. That's the guy that was the first pick overall. I hope that for Colorado fans, he's able to continue. But he played with edge, the skill, the ability to score key goals. I mean, just the way he dangled at times, he was unbelievable.
I heard Brad Marchand talk about the goal yesterday and just saying, who comes up with that? Who thinks you can pull and drag and?
But don't you think that's a residue of what kids do today?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like there's no boundaries,
no.
And that's the skill. I mean, 20 years ago, Todd, with all due respect to guys who played then, I'm not sure they could do that.
No,
I'm not sure they practiced
no.
that.
No,
you practice.
Brad Marchand is no old fogey.
No,
and he's thinking.
Oh, I know.
Who comes up with that?
But to your point, yeah, you practice dump and chase. That's what you did. You didn't work on your skill set. And every coach, every team, NHL team now has developmental skill coaches. We never had that stuff. We had a guy that taught you how to dump the puck and get a change. That's all we did, right? The one I want to add one little point. This team was unbelievable, Team North America. There was one player that I think, because it's in Toronto, who I would have loved to have played and would have would have died to be in this tournament, and I think he would have made another big difference. Not that Team North America needed any more skill or help because they were so good, but I would have loved to have seen Max Domi in this tournament as well, for the simple fact of what he brings with his tenacity. And being in Toronto, I'll tell you what, he would have wanted that stage as well, like all the other guys. I think he would have been an awesome guy to have in this team.
And the other guy to me that, again, you talk now, I really believe he's a veteran hockey player, and the people in Winnipeg are just, I mean, they've seen it, and that's Mark Scheifele.
Yep.
I thought he, what he did with Hockey Canada and what he did with the national team at the Worlds this year, and then what he did in this tournament, again, he elevated his game, he elevated his leadership. I saw him a lot playing in the OHL for Barry and thought, boy, he's going to be the real deal. And then there were times when they send him back, and when his first year in Winnipeg, he said, does he have it? Well, you know what? This guy's got it, and he's going to be a big part of what the Jets do for years to come, and he's going to be the guy helping Patrick Laine for years to come.
And for a lot of those guys on Team North America, I think this is going to be a huge springboard for these guys to continue this year in the NHL. You're going to see breakout years. We talk about Nathan MacKinnon. He's going to have an unbelievable – like, there's so many guys that I think this is really going to springboard this season. They're going to have a great start. I think you're going to see some career years out of these guys.
We have audio from Todd McClellan talking about his decision not to inform his players of the situation going into that last game against Team Sweden as far as whether they win and they advance. As a player, think about this and tell me after we hear Todd McClellan's explanation whether or not you would have liked to have known going into that game. Here is Todd McClellan on his coaching decision.
Now, did we as a coaching staff review each and every scenario? Absolutely. And had we gone into the locker room and told them they have to do this, we have to give them the complete plan. We have to do this at the top end, and we have to be aware of this at the bottom end. Because the first thing that will come out of their mouths is, what if? And we weren't prepared to give them the what if, because we're not built that way. We're built, if anybody has been watching us, or you'd have to be underneath a rock for the last 3 weeks to see that we didn't play all out the whole time. It was all about winning. We didn't use the word safe. We didn't use the word careful. So you were under a rock if you didn't think those guys were out there playing to win.
This is in reaction to the fact that a lot of those North American players thought that they were through when Nathan MacKinnon scored that goal against Sweden. So would you have liked to have known?
It's a double-edged sword, right? For me personally, it's kind of funny because I equate this back to maybe when you're coaching minor baseball, when I'm a coach for my kids' team, and you have to figure out the scenarios in order for your team to advance.
Yeah.
And we would never tell the kids either. Those are kids. But for me as a player, I would like to know that. But I'm surprised that the guys didn't know that going into it, because for them not to know and figure out the tiebreakers, you always know that if there is a tie and you go, it's head-to-head. But I think that what they forgot is they forgot that maybe Sweden get that one point to get them ahead. But as a player, yeah, I would have liked to have known. But I think that these guys, the coaching staff, their idea was, you know what, let's just go play the game, let things take care of themselves, and not worry about any scenarios. Because if you start thinking about scenarios in your head, then maybe that affects your play.
And I mean, I think the way Todd explained it was logical. The one thing I
do too.
The one thing I would suggest is if Wayne Gretzky was 22 years old and in that room, Wayne would know.
Yes.
Wayne would have looked at the papers, and Wayne would have looked at everything. Well, Wayne would know. And so would Sid. If Sid was 22 years old and playing for that team, these guys would know the ramifications themselves and understand the rules.
Because it was NHL rules.
Sure, sure.
And you do and by get, the way, that's get why, that point.
And that's, by the way, that's Sweden. Why the goaltender, why Todd couldn't pull the goaltender in overtime to get the extra point. Because if you pull the goaltender and they score into the empty net, you lose the point. So you can't take that chance.
Would you have pulled the goaltender in regulation?
No, you can't take that chance. There were still ways for you to advance
with some help.
Well, it was supposed to be Finland versus Russia. With some help. I mean, that you can't do that.
The old adage is, you know, try to take care of business on your own and not rely on other people. I understand it, but John's right. There's two. The risk versus reward wasn't the right thing to do at that particular.
Yeah. The other thing is, maybe I'm an old codger, but I think the way that these guys played the tournament, the way they won that last game, that was really fitting. That's perfect. We want more. Give them more later. You don't have to give it to them now. Give them more later. To me, it also created.
As an old codger, you should want it all now because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It could be walking across the street.
Yeah.
No, I think that factor is we Canada Cups, World Cups. We never remember the round robin portion of the tournament. Well, you know what? They made us remember the round robin portion of the tournament, and that will be a great selling point for the next World Cup.
It's so good now they're replaying it, I believe, on Saturday, right? Because it was that good of a game. I mean, I agree with you 100%. Leave the people wanting more, and that's exactly what Team North America did.
Yeah.
From the high of Team North America, yet not advancing, to the low of Team USA and Team Finland. Finland, transition area. Maybe the Americans are closer to that than they would care to admit. But still, going 0-3 in a best-on-best is tragically disappointing for them.
My take on that is this. That USA team is not as bad as what they showed in this tournament. And if you were to get a reset button and play this tournament 1 week from now, I think that it's a completely different ball box because they got behind the eight ball against Team Europe. And I think if you had a reset and they were ready to go again, I think this tournament is completely different. And you see the Americans, just 1 week from now, you would see the Americans back in the Final Four.
John Tortorella is a lightning rod.
Oh, but whether he's in the tournament or not, he's a lightning rod.
Yeah, but is some of this backlash just because Tortorella was the coach?
No, I mean, I think that if you mention Tortorella, you better mention Lombardi. And what Dean did in selecting the team, obviously John had a role. But I think what the United States did is exactly what Canada did in 1996 and 1998, is they put a team with role players on the ice. This is international hockey, this skill set, this is not a place for role players. God bless the role players. They're fun to watch. They're great for 82 games.
Rob Zamner's listening right now.
Rob Zamner, I love Rob Zamner. He's a friend of mine. But at the same time, Rob Zamner, in the end, shouldn't have been on that team in 1998. We learned that as a nation. Hockey Canada learned that after Nagano. Maybe that's the learning curve the Americans are going through right now, is don't put role players. Put your best 12 forwards. I'm a broken record about this all week. In Vancouver, in the gold medal game, I truly believe the Americans scared the heck out of me every time they put the puck across the blue line because they had skill and they had speed. Well, you could still see some levels of skill, but you didn't have near the speed. That's what American hockey's been about. It's not about top six forwards, bottom six forwards.
They outsmarted themselves.
It's about skill and speed and winning. And
Team North America didn't teach you that, you'll never learn.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, Darren. I got a ton of friends at USA Hockey. They do so many good things across the country. I hope that this has been, you talk about lightning rod, this has been a watershed moment for USA Hockey to say, listen, we're going to go with skill and speed and win games that way because that's how good our players are.
What are the chances that you get a Russia Team Europe Championship final?
Oh, man. I don't know.
The producer Matt wants to chime in here. Yes, producer Matt.
I just said, why even say that?
Because it's a possibility.
Nice
Matt, desk.
Hey, by the way, Matt, we're journalists, okay? We're journalists.
I'm a promoter, so I want Canada. I want Canada and Sweden.
Well put. Nice desks, too.
In a best-of-seven series, I say there's no chance that those guys get to the finals. But again, we've talked about it. It's a one-game series. Halak gets hot. Bobrovsky gets hot. You never know. It's possible. It's all very slim, but there is a possibility. Okay.
Better chance of what happening? Europe against Russia in the championship final, best of three, or front row, mosh pit, John Shannon at Lenny Kravitz tonight.
I can get in the mosh pit?
John Shannon crowd surfing Lenny Kravitz tonight.
We got a better chance of Russia and Europe.
It's $25. Tickets still available. Ticketmaster.ca for Lenny Kravitz at the Fan Village tonight. And then we get back at it this weekend.
Not to end the show on a downer, but our condolences to everybody in the U.S. hockey world. The passing yesterday of Walter Busch, one of the founders and original members of the ownership group of the Minnesota North Stars, brought pro hockey to that area and was a driving force at Lake Placid, a driving force of what USA Hockey has meant in the 50 states for a long period of time. Walter was a great man and a good person.
And he sees brighter things ahead for Team USA with a lot of those players on Team North America. Now was just not their time. The semifinals this weekend, Russia, Canada, 7 o'clock, CBC and Sportsnet on Saturday and Sunday, 1 o'clock on CBC Russia.